so be it. Greetings, my beautiful beginners. Let's have a drink. It's only water. And we do this to bring you back to remembering who made you, what life is about, and to be grateful for the day. And we start by saying, O my beloved God, of that which you are, I desire to know. Make my life useful. Create in my life the wonder that you are. This day,
Open my mind.
Allow me to know
of that which you be.
So say I.
I'm
the Lord God
of my being.
So be it.
To life.
Be seated. And welcome to that which is termed my audience. I am so pleased to see that you made it. Some of you will not make it. But for those of you that are here, welcome. I want you to turn to your neighbor, who will be your partner these next 2 days. And I want you to confess to them why you're really here. And advanced group, I want you to turn to your partner and explain to them your latest manifestation in your list or realization. You may begin. And oh, beginners, talking to your neighbor is a friendly way to get acquainted with the people beside you. So turn to them and introduce yourself and tell them why you're here. Beginners, that's what you're called at this level. I want to talk to you before we begin to study. You may not like anything you see here. Indeed, you're not going to be brainwashed, although your brains could use some washing. You're not going to learn anything that you do not want to learn. No one is going to make you have knowledge that you refuse to have. And furthermore, no one is going to make you turn into anything you don't want to turn into. Got it? Now, what your conceptions of this school are varied. But I want you to know that you're beginners, you have curiosities, you have beliefs, you face God. Your ideal of God differs with every one of you. Some of you don't even know what your definition of God is. Your belief in the devil or evil may or may not be there. It isn't in here, so it must be in there. That which is termed your life is not going to change at all, unless you want it to. Shortly, you're going to be given an opportunity to leave here, to save your embarrassment. to save your fear. Because you should know that this is not a place where people are enslaved. You already are enslaved. This is not a place that is held beyond your convictions. You are free to leave. But I don't want you to leave until you know what you're leaving from. What am I? Well, I'm not a ghost. And I'm not even a spirit. I'm not even a king. I am a consciousness, you know, personality. You know what you are? Do you believe you're going to survive your death, which you're going to have? Some of you sooner than others. Do you believe you're going to survive death? Then what part of you is going to survive? Is it your body? Is it your memories? Maybe it's just your personality, whatever that is, that makes your body work. If you believe you're going to survive death, your body won't survive it. It's corruptible. But then the essence of what you are, you say, I will live beyond the grave. Well, that's what I am. I am an I that lives beyond the grave. I lived as a man. Just as today you are living as a woman or a man, I once was a man. I now live in spite of the time that I lived. And what is about me that has remained is all that I was. That which will remain of you is all that you are, the sum total of what you are. So when you die, you're still going to have your prejudices. You're still going to have your fears. And you get in the afterlife exactly what you believe in. Believe means what you have consciously accepted. And you don't get any more than that. I am an entity who was a conqueror of sorts. And I believed in my own immortality. I hated God of my enemies. But I believed in my own immortality. For what I am, Ramtha the Enlightened One, is I am the survivor of my life, just as you are going to be the survivor of your life. If you disqualify that I am, then you are going to disqualify that you will be. If you do not accept that this is possible, then how can you possibly believe that you're going to survive your death? All I am is a living being, a consciousness. That consciousness uses this body just like you're using yours. You see, the brain doesn't think for itself. It has to have the spirit of consciousness to make it work. It's called life, don't you know? And so what you think so important about your little life is just your little body, and it's dispensable. But what runs your life is immortal. I use this body because it is the being that I selected and have worked this over centuries. I remembered this audience thousands of years ago in a dream that one day people would become enlightened, no longer barbaric, murderous creatures, depraved. One day they would become enlightened. I dreamed this dream. Therefore, that which has survived the centuries is this dream. This woman lived in my lifetime as many of you have lived in my lifetime. All she is a vehicle for my mind. What you've come to learn then is not about my image, not about what I look like or don't look like, but what I am. What you are going to learn is what I know. What do I know? A lot. What you're coming here to learn is not to have a guru. I am not your guru. I'm not your savior. I am not Jesus Christ. I am Rampa, the Enlightened One. I am a teacher, a teacher in consciousness. What I am going to teach you is about immortality. And that immortality is interconnected with the fabled God that so few of you do not know. So Rampa, the Enlightened One, is not spirit. I am a being. I am a mind. I am using this body. I have only used this body. I have used none other. I do not channel my mind through anyone else, only through this. It is a vessel I have selected. I have kept the teaching pure and not convoluted. So, if my demeanor is abrasive to you, if you find that you do not believe in me, therefore you do not believe in what I am going to tell you, you will have an opportunity to leave. I want you to know, leaving is not a shameful thing. It's a choice. If you feel you should not be here, you should not be here. But understand this. I am not here to make an impression. I am not here to make an image. I am here to dissolve such things. And dissolve them I will in you, just as I did in me. I have created a school like none other in the world. In the world, on the world, or above the world. Because such schools are not permitted to exist. This school is about Gnostic thought, knowingness, and its parameters. This school is to say this, that you are a human being, but what is your life is immortal. You have lived before multitudinous times, and you're going to live again. The quality of that life is based entirely upon your will, and your will is governed entirely by your knowledge, as frugal as it is. This school is about unfolding the God in man and woman. Unfolding, that means developing. I am going to teach you what already is. It's just you've never seen it. I am not teaching anything new. I am teaching what already is. What you're going to learn is called the teachings. They are philosophic in nature. Philosophic, I say, because they're not the truth. Truth, that all-important word that you hang so much on, you don't even know what it means. Truth is an experience of philosophy. So everything you're going to hear today is philosophy, but it is not the truth. The truth will happen to each one of you individually. It may happen to you and not your neighbor. It may happen to your neighbor and not to you. Is it the truth if it happens to them and not to you? Truth, then, is subjective. So the teachings are about teaching you all of the things you don't know. Outrageous things that you don't know.
expanding your mind and your inner vision to where it can no longer think. And then saying, now, this is knowledge. Now I am going to teach you how to live the knowledge, how to make it magic, how to experience it. Then, when you experience the knowledge, it will become truth, and only then. Then personalized truth we can call personal evolution. What makes you wiser today than you were 10 years ago? I say, what is it? What makes you smarter today than you were 20 years ago? Experience. Do you agree? How many of you agree? Then if experience makes you wiser, then it took knowledge and living to bring about that experience. That's what glorifies God. Now, what if I say, let's take 7 years. And in 7 years, let's learn everything that is humanly possible to learn in the form of outrageous, wonderful knowledge. And in that 7 years, let's take that knowledge and manifest it, which means let's declare it as life. Instead of wishing you could heal people, the only reason you can't heal anyone is because you don't know how to heal them. How is the lack of knowledge? It's called ignorance. The desire is beautiful, is it not? The desire to heal the cripple, is that not righteous? But when do you feel ashamed of yourself? When do you hand them their crutches? You hand it to them because you do not have the way to heal them, because you do not have the knowledge, the experience, and truth. How many people in your family do you know? Maybe you wear glasses. Maybe you can't hear very well. Maybe you have cancer. Maybe you are plagued. You know someone who's bruised. It isn't that God doesn't live in you that you can't heal them. God lives in you when you have compassion for them. But it is up to you to find a way to make your dream manifest. Let us say in less than 7 years, you have the power of the healer. You have learned all of the knowledge about how to do it, sacred knowledge, sacred science. Furthermore, you have practiced it multitudinous times. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. But when it didn't, was a lesson, a finesse of knowledge. You learned. And then the more you do it, the more consistent you come at it. And then one day, you turn to your child, your mother, your father, to yourself. And you apply the knowledge, and behold, it happens. That's what you're going to learn here. And what about those of you who have come here that are confused in your soul? How many of you want to be successes but are flagrant failures? How many of you have a rampant rage in you? How many of you are unhappy? How do you cure that? The cure to all of those is knowing who you are. Know thyself. Knowing who you are is no easy task. It requires dedication, perseverance. It declares itself in the form of initiation. To know who you are is to know God. It means that you dedicate your life to understanding. When you know who you are, then you'll know why you're unhappy. You'll know why you have been a failure. You will know why you have troubles in your life. and then you will have the answer to resolve them. What if you wanted the power to make a wish? How often have you said, "I wished I could do this"? How many times in your quiet thoughts have you wanted something and were afraid to even tell your closest associate? If God lives in you, why doesn't that desire manifest? Why doesn't it come true? Why does the genie live only in myth and fable? Why can't it live in you? What if I said to you, in 7 years, much less, but in 7 years, the master of that will be living well in you, that you would learn how, through respectful science, to create reality? What if I said to you that every dream you have ever wanted, you get to have? Nothing has kept it from you except your own ignorance. I say to you that this is outrageous philosophy, but to my masters in the school, it is their truth. They know it. They have the power to create dreams. How many things would be resolved in your life if everything that you wanted, you got? And if God is evolution in nature, would not the very fact that you want something indicate a lack in you of inexperience? So would not the want scientifically be eligible for manifestation, because it would mean that if you finally got it, you would be happy? Well, of course it does. If God lives in you, why doesn't that happen? And if I say to you then that the great work is not about your careers, and it's not about your family, your husband, your wife, your children, that the great work, the alchemist's work, is about turning you inside out. In other words, learning everything you do not know and throwing into the crucible your ignorance, your limitation, your stubbornness and your conceit, and you throw it into the fire and you burn it up and you say, "I want to know all of these things. I want to know what is in fable and in legend. I want the power to heal my mother, my child, my lover. I want the power to do good for others. I want the mind that is capable of lofty thinking. I want my hand to touch someone and to reassure them instead of touching them in fear. And most off, I want to know everything I don't know." And if such a desire lives within you nobly, then your life will not end tomorrow, nor will it end when it is supposed to end. Because as long as you desire to know all that you do not know, your life will go on and on and on. For life is the reason for experience, don't you know? And when you think you know it all, you know nothing. When you think you know all about your life, you know nothing, you start to die. Age, don't you know, is not about living. Age is the preparation for death. And you start growing old the moment you leave your childhood. Children dream and imagine. They live in castles of thought. They are interdimensional. They see what you cannot see. But the moment that they come that which is termed adults, they no longer imagine and dream and hope. All they become is an educational machine. It eats and labors, fights and wars over stupid things. You really lived when you were children. All of you did. That was when you were the most powerful. Age is about dying, not living. When you desire then to know everything there is to know, then you will start to live again. And your destiny, genetic as it seems, will be curtailed, for your life will be extended. Don't you know that to glorify God is not to pray to God every day in some chapel, to some statue? Don't you know that God lives inside of you, and that the greatest cathedral is your mind, and the altar of forgiveness is your heart and soul? Don't you know that God's destiny for you is to be all you can be? And who determines that, pray tell? Who knows what you're going to be? Most of your future is already sealed. The moment of your death is known. But who knows all you can be? The only one that knows that is you. None other. Now, I ask you, my beginners, what can you not know? What can you not know? Eh? Turn to your neighbor and answer them. You know what you're going to know? What you want to know. That's it. That's all there is. I don't want to know what happens to me after I die. I don't want to know. So be it. You're not going to know it. I don't want to know about certain things. So be it. They will always be forbidden. You will never have the experience of them because you don't want to know. That's how it works. Now, if you were really wise, you would have said, I can know anything. So be it. Now, we come to will. What do you want to know? And if you say, Master, I want to know it all, then that is the journey of the great work. And that's what the school is about. You think our school is about doing seances, do you? You think our school is about worshiping a guru? Foolish man. You think our school is about worshiping the devil? Never show your ignorance in such a fashion. School is about gnosis, knowing. It is about declaring that God does not live in heaven. That God is not a man, and he does not have a long gray beard. That God That is not even Jehovah, that pitiful creature. God is not Jehovah, though God lives in Jehovah. God lives in you. That's why you're here on earth. That's why you lived before. Because your soul is a part of the great soul. And that your mind is the adventurer with wings that dreams dreams that brings creation into reality. We are learning here about physics, quantum mechanics, neurosciences. We are learning about central nervous system, about the nerve cell. We are learning about neurotransmitters, dreams. We are learning about psychic states. We are learning about astral states. We are learning how to be one mind. We are learning to send and receive. We are learning to read your thoughts. And we do them quite well. We are learning to see without eyes. We are learning to heal ourselves. We are learning to heal others. We are learning to be the mind that is essentially the immortality of oneself. We are not ignorant. We do not sing hymns praising God. We do not preach about the second coming. We do not talk about the devil and how bad he is. We do not talk about anything so foolish as to terrify children in their dreams. We are here about life. Now, everything I have just said to you, the advanced students that joined you this weekend, at least one of them can do. I have students in the school that have healed themselves of terrible diseases, maladies. I have students who can see through blindfolds. I have students who can read your mind. I have students who can find what you hide. I have students who leave their bodies. I have students who love the nature of God. So what I teach is a truth. Now, contemplate this. Cornerstone of the school, then, beginners, is a concept called consciousness and energy. What did I say? Now, we say consciousness and energy are two forces. One is thought, the other is energy. Energy is what ACTA term called consciousness. So consciousness and energy are inextricably combined, meaning the thought is a doer. And when we say consciousness and energy creates the nature of reality, we are simply saying that everything that you see in the natural world came from thought and energy. And if you don't believe that, you should talk to a biologist about evolution. You should ask why your little toe is getting smaller. You should ask why a chameleon changes color in his environment. It came about through the conscious desire to do so. And since you don't swing from trees anymore, we don't need the little toe to be such a gripper thumb. Now it looks nice in sandals. Don't you know why the ancient civilizations wore sandals? To show off their little toe. It was a sign that they had evolved. Now, consciousness and energy creates reality, then nature is the storm of subatomic particles manifesting in that which is termed solidity. And they're manifesting because they were thought into existence. So the cornerstone of the school of the great work says that consciousness and energy creates the nature of reality. Now say it. What is real? Oh, I say to you. While you say, what is real is what I can see and smell and taste and hear, I say back. If that's real, then what made it smell and visual and chime and feel? What made it? Well, I don't know. Consciousness made it. What causes, listen very carefully, don't go to sleep. What causes subatomic particles to formulate? What causes the wave of energy to contract to particle form? What causes that? What causes electrons around atoms? Why do some atoms have more electrons than others? And what happens when an electron pops out of an atomic orbit? Why? If it pops out of an atomic orbit, don't you understand that its magnetic base has changed, therefore its character has changed, so what would have been red is now blue? You like it? Now, in the school we say that reality is your life and that you're responsible for it and that we can forgive you prior to coming to school. And that we forgive your ignorance and your silliness and your foolishness and your judgment and your arrogance and your abusiveness and all of that slimy stuff you did before. That's forgivable. After you start to school, we change our mind. When you cry and moan about your life in the school, we go, you should know better. If you have something happen to you that makes you unhappy, we go, now why did you create that? And you say to yourself, but I didn't create this. Yes, you did. So reality, then, that enigmatic word, let's bring it down to personal self. It's about your life. Your reality is everyone in your family. That's your reality, at least genetically. Reality is about everyone that you have kissed, hugged, embraced, spat upon, talked to, cursed at. Your reality is about everything that you own, everything you don't own, but remember owning. Your reality is about your debts. It's about your dreams. It's about your personality. It's your phobias. That's reality. So if consciousness and energy is the creator of reality, then we could say consciousness, stream of consciousness on the human brain, creates in the final analysis what is called the mind. The mind, as it were, is that which is termed an astral projection, unidentified by molecular structures, of the interaction between thought and neuron. And that the mind, then, is responsible for being called the observer. And the observer is what is responsible in collapsing energy into particles. So says science. So then, you created your life by your mind, the way you think. So if your life is miserable, wretched, and unhappy, that's because that's how you think, and that's what you expect to happen. If your life is full of doubt and fear, that's because that's how you think. Fear is your energy. If your life is about progressiveness and joy, it's because that's how you are. If you have the healing touch, it's because you are humbly compassionate. That's the way you think. So the way you think has created your life. Now, this begs the question, but Master, Does that mean then I chose my life? No. It means it's the one you were sucked into. Because what you were before you came into this life is equal to the life you have now. It's a force called magnetism. So, who are you today? You are the sum total of everything you've ever thought. Now, hold on. Man didn't make the trees. He plants the seed, but he didn't make the seed. Something else made the seed. A thought made the seed. And the seed came about and through its environment changed and changed and changed and became the oak. In a million years, the oak will have a different ancestor because it will have changed its life through living it. If we increase your knowledge, if we say to yourself, why don't you love who you are? If we say to you these questions and then you begin the work of learning and loving, if I say to you a dream will manifest and I will help you and I will show you and it does, then we're going to change you. Instead of feeling helpless, caught in this genetic body, and that's what it is, this genetic bag of chemicals, instead of blaming it for your life, stop blaming and change your point of view. And the bag of chemicals will go along and serve you in the journey. In the school then, everyone who comes says, my philosophy is that I believe that God lives within me and that that's what life is about. Furthermore, I believe that the reason God gave me a brain was so I could develop a mind. Now, why a mind? Because in order for a mind to be developed, the brain has to put together holographic pictures of thought and sight. Those constitute the mind. The mind, in turn, in the invisible, is responsible for that which is termed physical things happening. Things of my choice happening. I believe that this is the action of God, that my life is not to simply become stagnant, but to learn the art of dreaming. I want to dream new levels of thought, and I know that those levels of thought will manifest in my life. My experience of that manifested thought is to the glory of God. I have made known the unknown. I believe then that instead of my body being crucial to my life, I now believe it is my mind that is crucial to my life. If I gain knowledge and discipline myself towards that change, then I will have changed my life in evolution. It is my belief, and some of this is my truth because I have experienced this. These measure of experience has given me the confidence to go on. I fully expect one day to be a master. A master. What is a master? One who has mastered every level of ignorance in their life, who has mastered doubt and cant and negativity. I am one who has become my own self. That is the master. So in the school, that's the premise you start with. A new philosophy. Always guarded at first, and then slowly experiencing it and becoming empowered by it. What is life? After you leave here, during your breaks, at night is your life. How does this school tie into that? This school is going to make that life change. How are you to live it? The way you've learned to live it. In the school, you are only required to see me twice a year. These 2 days, and then 7 days, and that's all. That's all you have to come. I assure you, in 7 days, I can teach you more than you've learned in an entire lifetime. Not only can I teach you that, I can initiate you into it. I'm going to show you can see without eyes. I am going to show you can dream a dream and it will manifest. I'm going to teach you the sacred knowledge. Now, what happens after 7 days? You get to go back home. Go back home. Go back to work. But get up in the morning and create the day as I taught you to. And when the challenges come during the day, instead of meeting them with opposition or hate and bitterness or anger or despise or judgment, meet them with a new mind. And I swear to you, they will change. And the glory of your life will soon be seen. And every day is an unfoldment of what you're going to learn. And it is up to you to assure that every day unfolds according to the way you've learned it to be. Because that's your gift. Then you're going to run out of steam. And then you'll have to come back and see me. When you come back, I'll teach you well. Not to be a follower. You cannot possibly follow me where I go. But to be that which is termed your own follower, one who does as you think. And then you will learn more and more and more and more. And the more you learn, the greater you're going to become. Now, is this easy? No, it's not easy. Look, you're sitting on the floor. That should be a clue. Now, wasn't Jesus born in a manger? Sitting on the floor, it's a sign of humility. It's a sign of being back to nature, close to the earth. It is coming down from your humanistic point of view. This student that learns the great work are going to do many wonderful things. I want you to look around first at the advanced students that have joined you this weekend. Now, these students are at different levels of learning. They have what is called the primary group. They are at the headwaters of the school. They are the senior group. Then we have the secondary group. And then we have a group called Iyata Leaf. They are the newcomers, already great into the work. So there are different levels of people here that have joined you. I would like for them to stand up so that you can see just how many came to support you this weekend. Now, out of this group, I want you to take a look at them. I'm going to ask certain questions and they're going to stand up so that you can see what they're doing. Now, out of everyone standing up, how many of you have manifested a dream? Those of you who haven't, sit down. Of those of you who are standing up, how many of you have healed yourself or someone else? Of those of you standing up, how many of you have sent a thought to someone else, or they to you, and you have received it properly? How many of you have seen without eyes? You may be seated. Now, the last thing I'm going to tell you this morning before I give you an opportunity to leave, if you wish, is something that always scares everyone. I'm going to have the advanced group show you their discipline called CNE. And what is that? Well, When you went to church, you were asked to get on your knees and to pray to God. Perhaps you did it beside your bed at night. In the great work, there is a different beginning process that brings unity and oneness to the mind. It's called the raising of body energy to the brain. And the way that that is accomplished is through the breath and sitting in what is called the triad. Some call it the lotus. When these students do this, they're going to cover their eyes, and in their mind, they're going to erase everything having to do with you because they've been taught to do that. And all they're going to think about is the energy sitting at the base of their spine. In other thought, that is called the Kundalini. What they are going to do is that they are focusing on this energy with their entire brain. When they do, the energy stirs in their body. When they use their breath, they're going to blow like this. That breath is the breath of the will. The will can be tangibly seen in the breath. And when they blow, they are willing the energy inside of their body to move to their brain, up the brain stem, up to that which is termed the midbrain area, through a door called a thalamus, into the frontal lobe, this area right here. And the reason they want to do that is because they want to change the frequency of their brain waves. When they do, they can put a vision right here in the frontal lobe, and it will happen. But this discipline that I'm going to teach you today and tomorrow is how I'm going to teach you to manifest something you want in your life straight away. And you're going to learn how to do this. Now, this is outrageous and embarrassing. People will be spitting. Blindfolded. They're ignoring you. But I want you to see, if God lives within us, how we make contact. Now, I'm going to pick some people to come up on stage for you to look at. Then everyone else that's here can turn around and see, because I'm going to have them surround you. And I want you to judge them, because you're going to do that. Why? Because this is what you don't know. And your tendency to what you don't know is that it must be bad. So I want you to look at them, because you're going to learn how to do this. And we talk about collapsing the wave function into particle solidity. This is how we do it. After this is over with, you're going to have a break. During that time, you will have an opportunity to gather your belongings and go to the back of the room and see a Master General and check out. And then when I come back, we start the study of the great work of those of you who are left. So now, I beg your indulgence, I would like to select some students to come up on stage so that you can criticize. They look like normal people, don't they? At least that's what you'll say later. They look so normal. They are, but they're extraordinarily beautiful mentally and spiritually. Now, I want you to watch what they do, because I'm going to teach you to do it. When they put their blindfolds down and make this little sign starting up here, they're creating themselves in a triad. They're recognizing the Holy Trinity of God. The blindfolds turn their attention away from you to the within, where God resides. And you're going to see the will they exhibit in moving energy to their frontal lobe. Now, keep in mind, these people have done miraculous things. With this little thing that they're going to show you that they know how to do, they have healed, left their bodies. They are psychically attuned. They can read your thoughts. They can find things hidden, blindfolded. These beings that are sitting up here are wonderful masters in the school, and they represent it very well. Now, I've selected a peppering of them so Some of you will like the way some look and won't like how others look, so that you get to judge them. Now I want you just to be quiet and watch everything that they do. I love you. Remember, what they are doing here is they are moving energy to their brain. They are changing brain frequency so they can dream. And the reason for the dream is to create reality. Let's do it. So be it. Bow your beautiful head, close your eyes, and slowly remove your blinders, very slowly. This is how they have changed their life. This is what they first learned to do. This is indeed how they focus their mind. And when you know a lot more, you'll understand the importance of the discipline, concentration, holding a thought, what it means to go within and to release yourself. To release yourself. To allow that which is termed your internal energy to fly to your head. All these war cries you heard, these people shaking, they are surrendering to their energy. That uncontrolled yell that comes forward from within them comes from their spirit. That is unlimited and unleashed. There is no need for alcohol or drugs in this school. There is no need for any side stimulation. God has given everything to you to go within to find that. When they're stimulated and the energy is moving in their body and their hands are very hot, they do wonders. When they started out, if they were tired, when they finished, they are filled with vital energy. Their body is radiating because they've released the natural within them. Some would call that the supernatural. As you sit, controlled and uncomfortable, watching this, I wanted you to feel uncomfortable. I want you to see how different you feel from these people. And perhaps yours is a more correct manner. There is a place for that. But if we are to develop God, we must put aside all hypocrisy. We must put aside all of those good manners and all of that fear of ridicule and allow it to come within us. The reason they do wonders that you only dream of is because they have learned to release what is already there. I did not put it there. It was there when they came into this life, but it's been buried, hidden. I invite you now, before we close the session, I encourage you, as it were, to talk to the people on the stage and around you, to engage them in conversation, ask them questions. It's important that you feel comfortable with what you're going to learn. If you don't feel comfortable with what you'll learn, you get to leave. But before we progress any further, I want you to experience the people that you just witnessed. I invite you to engage them now.